Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, welcome to another podcast on Bloom Baby Bloom. I hope you're doing well wherever you are, and I hope that you've gotten into this new month of April well and healthy. As from my side, I hope it's not too clear, but I'm just getting over a flu, one that just came randomly, and I'm surprised that I feel well enough to actually do the podcast today. But it's actually also quite fitting with the subject of the day, which is radical rest. And that is exactly what I had to do yesterday. I had no choice. I had to stay in bed, drink my liquids, and get in and out of sleep the whole day until finally I started feeling better. But it's interesting because this kind of radical rest was not by choice. Like, my body just was like, we are not going anywhere, we can't do anything, we don't even want to look at screens, we just want to be in and out of sleep. And so I had to listen to my body, and I'm always amazed at how beautiful and how amazing our bodies are if we tune in and listen. Like, even with the food, I was so amazed by how, especially because maybe now as I've gotten older, I have my sick routine down to mostly a T, I would say. And I'm always amazed by the wisdom of our bodies and what it tells us to do. And for me, it's even through food. Like, my body will tell me what I can and cannot eat, like, just, and I listen to it. If I'm not hungry when I'm sick, if I can't taste anything, I always take that as a message from my body that don't eat, you know? So I knew that I was thirsty, and I even wanted like carbonated water just randomly. And I was like, okay, I don't know why, but I need to get this. So I got the little energy I had and went down to the supermarket and got me a bottle of just pure carbonated water. And it was so interesting because I was feeling so stuffy. Just basically couldn't breathe well, and while drinking this water, I could sense that I was feeling better. Of course, I did my ginger and apple cider vinegar and lemon and cayenne pepper mix as well, and that really helped. And I just kept on drinking my liquids, my teas, and eating fruits, very pure foods. And just at some point at the night yesterday, I could feel like, wow, my body's feeling better, because I went through all the phases within like a short period of time. Like, something that would usually take me a week or so to get over, I'm so surprised how speed up the process was. And I really do believe this is because I just listened and obeyed my body's need to rest, and rest my digestive system, rest my eyes, rest my body, and just stay in bed. And do what I needed to do to alkaline my body and restore and help me get better. And even though I still have the, I'm still a bit snotty, but it's so much better. Like, seriously, I'm so surprised, because if you saw me yesterday, you thought, okay, this is going to take you out at least for 4 days. So I'm quite impressed by the miracle of our bodies and its ability to take care of us if we work in cooperation with it. And especially now, as I say, the subject of today is about radical rest. And radical rest for me is just the notion of resting without guilt, and also listening to our body's need to rest without it having to perform first. There is this notion that we can't rest, or we can't award ourselves with time off unless we are deserving of it. These ideas of rest, I am quite sure, are embedded in our society, especially in a capitalistic society, especially in a society that was built of Puritan values, Christian values, and the sense of labor is good, and to be working and be hardworking. like all these things are quite appreciated in our society and quite promoted. Like even when we think about the grind culture, the idea that just working, working, working. I remember like one of my most despised quote about the grind culture is this notion of while they sleep, you grind on. And I was like, no, maybe you should also sleep. Just basically this idea that the more we work, the more deserving we are, the more wonderful we are, and the busier and more filled our schedules are, the more important we are. And over-identifying our worth with our productivity. And all these ideas are quite interesting because when you really question, which is something I try to do, who does this idea benefit the most? You realize that it benefits a system of capitalism. It benefits a system of wanting people to give up the majority of their time for labor's sake and identify with it from a degree of associating their worth as people to it. So when we want to change that, when we want to approach that understanding from a different perspective, it's important that we realize why these ideas became such an important part of our lives to begin with and who they benefit the most, and to realize, does that actually work for me as a person as well? I truly believe in obviously doing meaningful work and putting our energy into things that give back to us and our communities, and working in a way that promotes the ideas and ideals we believe in. So it's not even the idea of no work, nobody should work or anything like that, for me at least. It's more the fact that we are encouraged to be hardworking and self-sacrificing for even things that don't make sense to us, for things that don't even bring that value back to us, our community or the environment or our family or our wealth or health. So it's quite important that we question those ideas within that context. Like, what is this hard working and self-sacrificing to the degree that I don't even allow myself to rest? What is it for, and who is it really benefiting? And if the cause it's benefiting makes sense to you and it's rewarding in itself, of course, go for it. But if it's not, we should really question, why then do we feel so, what do you call, like, loyal to it? Why do we feel such a need to do it? Why do we feel such a need to do it to the extent where we are neglecting our own health or our own interest or our own families? I recently started exploring the world of anarchist feminism, or sometimes it can also be called anarcha feminism, or feminist anarchism. And already I was a bit dabbing into the world of anarchism. And I feel like as somebody who believes in decolonial existence and who believes in sovereignty of the individual and who believes that we should coexist from a place of voluntarism rather than coercion or violence or threat of violence, I feel like the closest thing for that for me are the ideas that are shown and presented within anarchism. And I am quite intrigued by the idea of course, like already as a womanist or as a black feminist, there is that whole idea of understanding that we exist in a world created for the benefit of the patriarchal structure. But as a black woman, that patriarchy also has a race, and it's white patriarchy. And then from a place of anarchy, it's the understanding of the coercion that we are constantly forced into in order to exist in this world. And this coercion is so embedded in our culture and in all types of systems that it's literally like trying to be aware of water as a fish. It's really all around us. And it's no longer needed to be forced on us or abused into us. When you think about even colonialism, and you think about the fact that even though colonialism ended, the structures of colonialism stayed intact, and they just got a black face. And so the colonial thought and the colonial aspirations could continue, but under the guise of quote-unquote independence. And the people were so embedded in the ideals of colonialism to the fact that even after its end, they still are stuck in that way of living. Like, the religion stayed, the structures of government stayed, the structure of education stayed, and basically also the structure of business and commerce stayed. Basically, even though you don't have the white colonists pushing down their agenda, they no longer have to because the system is already put in place. And the people who are raised in those societies, they think that this is now the norm, that this is the only way to exist, not realizing, actually, wait a minute, we live like this because of what happened to us during colonialism and the ideas and aspiration of colonial ideals. So if we want to be free, if we want to be sovereign, if we really want to reimagine our existence in a way that makes sense for us, we need to question, why do we do the things we do, and who's really benefiting from the way we do the things we do? And could we reimagine a different way of doing it? And this can be really challenging because, as I said, we are bred into these ideas. We are bred into these structures. From the time you go to school, you go to church, you go to work, they are all supporting the same ideals. And so to reimagine something different is really, really a big effort from your part. And I often feel like the people who are successful in this are people who just naturally cannot fit in the way things are. And so they are more inclined to question it. They're more inclined to say, is this how things are supposed to be? Why do I not fit into this? Why does this feel so forced and unnatural? And by being in tune with our own feelings on those ways of existence literally opens us up to trying to find other ways of existing and other ways of living more attuned to our tourist nature. And especially as an African woman, these are questions that are so important for me and my well-being, and also reimagining how the future could look for not only me, but coming generations, and daring to see that the current system was not put in place for us, but for the benefit of people who don't even look or care about us. And so it becomes quite easier to not feel so loyal to an idea or a practice that is not made with you in mind and actually thrived the most when you were being exploited by it, right? Also, I would say that learning about anarchism and anarchist feminist theory and all these things, it can be a risky venture because you're still in the world as it is, but at the same time, you're becoming less and less tapped in, and you're becoming less and less, you have less and less of a feeling of compliance with it. And at the same time, you still, for example, need to make money, right? And it really invites you. That's why for me, like, spirituality is also important to any kind of social change or form of activism I intend to practice, in the sense that you have to understand that you need to reprogram yourself and your mind and your way of seeing life in order to not only to reimagine, but manifest another way of existing, to put into action another plan for yourself where you are more aligned. And if I'm being really honest, I feel like in some areas of my life, I have achieved that, but I'm still working on another area, which I understand that it does come down to what we think and how we've been programmed to think for such a long time, that you need to really dig deep to understand the root of you imagining or not being able to imagine any other way of existence, right? Anyway, just to go back to the whole idea of radical rest, I do feel that obviously it is also quite aligned with the idea of questioning the ideas of and ideals and religion of capitalism and the religion of labor is good and lots of labor is even better. And reevaluating, like, is that really what I want to believe in? Could I imagine something else? Like, sometimes I look at animals, as I always say, like, when people are confusing, like, go to nature and see things there. In nature, most animals might spend their whole day eating or looking for food, right? But they literally live from a basis of what I need and nothing more. They are not accumulating anything other or more than they might need to sustain their lives. Whereas in our own lives, especially if you live in a Western world, we are working beyond what we need most of the time. We are doing beyond what we need to do. And we've normalized that so much that anybody that does just what they need to do to feed themselves, have a house, basically just to fulfill their necessities and then spend the rest of their time doing other things, whether it's engaging in their hobbies, whether it's relaxing, whether it's just reading or doing nothing. We see that as somebody without ambition. We see that as somebody without passion, somebody who does not want to become somebody, right? Because the idea is to become somebody, you have to work your way to that. You're not somebody because you're born. You're somebody if you become important. You're somebody if you create something that can be validated by others of having importance. And if you just are satisfied with existing, as the animals are, then you are. Then the idea is that you are not living up to your fullest potential, right? And even that idea of your fullest potential, what is that? Where did that come from? Why is it not enough just to be born, enjoy life, and then die? Why is that not enough, right? So certainly we can't talk about radical rest or radical existence without questioning the ideas that keep us away from that, or the ideas that even make resting something that is radical or has to be radical for us to engage in it, without feeling like we are lazy, without feeling like we are slobs, without feeling like we are unambitious or unimportant people. And perhaps I think also it's about reclaiming those ideas and reclaiming those ways of labeling people that is supposed to shame them into then signing and opting into the capitalistic thought or the imperialistic ideals or the greed is good ideals. Like, reimagining that, what's so bad about being lazy? Because when you think about it, most of the issues that happen to us in this world are created by overambitious people. If you really think about it, lazy people might not create amazing things, but they're also not adding harm to the world most times, right? Unless you are working somewhere and you have to be aware of certain things, and then you are also lazy. Like being a lazy politician or president or, I don't know, teacher, like something where you are needed to be a certain way in order for things to work. But beyond that, beyond doing your job and doing what we need to do to cover our necessities, why would you feel bad about spending the rest of your day doing exactly what you want, whether it's watching series or laying in bed or doing nothing at all? Like, why do we feel bad about that? Why do we owe it to other people to do more than what we need to do to sustain ourselves, you know? So basically, those are the ideas that have been popping up in my head. And just questioning those things and enjoying rest from that idea that it shouldn't even be a radical thing, but it is our human right to rest, It's our human right to enjoy life. It's our human right to engage in things that are fulfilling. It's our human right to exist as we please, as long as we're not harming anybody. And it's our human rights to imagine and define the values that actually make sense to us and not be coerced into ideas and ways of existence that are created by people that want to exploit us and created by people that benefit from us not needing to be whipped in order to do things, but doing that ourselves in our minds and the way we feel guilt and the way we feel shame and how that motivates us to do things rather than doing things from a place of, I want to do that. That makes sense to me. That has value for me. But we do it because I don't want people to think any less of me. I want people to see me as somebody. I want to be worthy in the eyes of other people. And I understand us wanting to even aspire to those things because we are social beings, and what the community thinks about us is important to us. But I do think that even the community is corrupt because it is shaped in a corrupt system, because it's shaped by ideas of exploitation and by ideas of coercion. And by ideas of threatening, like indirectly threatening, of violence, even if that violence is just you won't have food or space to live unless you abide by these laws, you know? Whereas, as I always go back to, why should any other person have authority of another person if they too are just a person? It makes absolutely no sense. And the only way it works is because of that threat of violence or power that can be used to threaten your existence and your well-being. But that doesn't make it legitimate. That makes it criminal to a certain degree, right? Even though that might sound radical to label that as criminal, but you have to understand that the ideas of crime are quite subjective. And the laws that define crime are always changing depending on how we understand our existence and what we feel we are entitled to and what we feel is aligned with our moral understanding of how we should coexist. So those things are not fixed and they can always change, and they change with the way the people change and the way that our consciousness evolves. So what might have been okay 50 years ago, 100 years ago, is absolutely not okay today. And by understanding that, we also understand it's not far-fetched to reimagine even the things we feel today are such the norm that we cannot touch them, that we cannot reorganize them. But of course we can. Because again, as I always say, if it's created by humans, it can be changed by humans. If it's a law made by humans, it can be changed by humans. So the sky is literally the limit when it comes to things like that. Anyway, guys, that is the subject of this Sunday. I hope it made sense in the sense of interweaving radical rest with anarchist thought and feminist thought, especially from a decolonial perspective. And also, again, in support of existing as a sovereign person, an individual, and giving yourself the right to reimagine the rules and ways that you can exist, as long as, and we can all agree with this part at least, as long as you're not harming anybody else directly, why shouldn't you have the right to reimagine how you exist, what makes sense to you? What is labor for you? What is rest for you? How you want to exist in a radical form? And how you want to redefine values and status for your own existence and ambition for your own existence, right? Rather than feeling forced to just take on the ideas that are just forced upon us through indoctrination, whether it's through school, workforce, or our religion. Basically allowing yourself to author your life and how you want to shape it, right? Anyway, guys, that's the conversation. I hope you're well. I hope you are taking such good care of yourself and engaging with radical thought and questioning everything. Of course, with some rest, because it can be a bit hectic once you start unraveling some of these things that we think are so normal. And basically, I will talk to you in my next episode. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little hi's, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.